Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shurman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Kiddushin Daf Chav Gimel Amud Bet, continuing in our analysis of Mishnah Gimel and the methods by which an Eved Kanani goes free. In the opinion of the Chachamim, Vadshi HaKesef Shel Acherim, he can go free with Kesef given by himself, and as we clarified in the previous podcast, also given by others. But if the money is given by himself, it has to be owned by others. Now, name of Bahakami Palgi, so perhaps the Machloket or Meir Chacham is, the Meir Savar Enkinin Le'Eved below Rabbo, that an Eved could not own money, and anything he acquires belongs to his master. Enkinin Le'Isha below Bala, in the parallel with a woman vis-a-vis her husband. Rabbanan Savi, Yishkinin Le'Eved below Rabbo, Yishkinin Le'Isha below Bala, and the Chacham say that these two do have autonomous financial standing. That would be a very broad Machloket, and unlikely that it would appear in such a narrow context. So Amar Abraham Shishesha Dechule Alma Ainin Kin Nevelo Rabin Kin Leisha Belo Bala. Everybody agrees that they do not have independent financial status. V'achabaham Mayaskinu. What's the circumstance here? Da Akni Le Acher Money. Somebody else gave the Eved the money. V'Amar Le Amanat She'en Rabba Charishut Bo. And he gave the money on condition that the master has no claim on it. The minute he gives him the money and says, take it, it goes to the master. And then he says, on condition, that's nothing. In other words, we ignore the condition. The minute he says, on condition, the Tanai works. That's one way of taking it. Rav Sheshet says, circumstances where another person gave the Eved money on condition that his master has no claim on it, that would work. Rabbi Loza disagrees and says, in that circumstance, everybody would agree that the master gets the money. What's this case here? This is a different, sounds not that different, but it really is. Somebody else gave him the money and said, use it for freeing yourself. Same thing. Rabbanan Savri, they hold as follows. He didn't ever give it to the Eved. I'm giving it to you on condition you use it to free yourself, which means it goes directly from the other guy through this fellow's hands to the master. All right. Now, and now we find a contradiction within Rameir and within Rabbanan, the Tanya, with the following Braita. Ein shapo damaser sheni below chomesh. A woman cannot redeem Maaser Sheni without paying Chomesh. Remember that when you redeem Maaser Sheni, if it's your own Maaser Sheni you're redeeming, you pay Chomesh. If it's somebody else's, you don't. A woman could not be put a Maaser Sheni without paying Chomesh. Shemar Elazar Mishum Rabbi Meir, Yishap put a Maaser Sheni below Chomesh. Now, our question is, Hechidami, what's the circumstance here? Ilem Vezuze de Baal Maaser de Baal, it's the husband's money and the husband's Maaser. She's doing the husband's agency, and certainly she has to pay the chomesh. Nobody would disagree. Well, Vezuzi Dido Maser Dei must be her money and his maser. No, that can't be. Isha Marachmana, Velo Isha. I mean, Ish B'Masero. You only have to pay chomesh when it's your own maser, not somebody else's. And here, if it's her money, then that she got from inheritance from her family or whatever it may be, then nobody would claim that she has to pay chomesh. Halav ki agavna, where could there be a situation where they would disagree? That somebody else gave her money, and according to Rabbalazo, the way we read it is, he gave her the money and said, use this to redeem the maser. And according to Rav Sheshet, we'd say something simpler. He gave her money and said, on condition your husband has no rights to it. And now we have them taking the opposite position. That here, Rav Meir is the one who says she does own it independently, and therefore is an outsider, and there's no chomesh. And Chachamim say, no, she doesn't own it independently. The condition fails. It's her husband's money, and therefore you pay the chomesh. Now, Abaye takes this position quite often in situations like this. He says, flip around this last version, so that Rav Meir is the one who says that she cannot pay without the chomesh, because it automatically becomes her husband's. And Chachamim say, no, it could be hers independently, and there could be a situation of no chomesh. Rava says there's no reason to have to turn things around here and turn the positions around. Here, what's the case? We're talking about Maser that came from her family's estate. So she was an only child and her father died, and she inherited a bunch of fruit that was already maaser. For a mayor latameh, damar maaser mamon hektishu. We're going to see this in spades in the second parak. Her mayor is of the opinion that maaser is mamon hektish. And therefore, v'lo kan lebal. Therefore, nobody really acquired it. It belongs to the hektish. And therefore, whoever pays is an outsider. For Rabbanan, the Tamayu Dami Mamun had Yotun, Rabbanan disagreed with her mayor fundamentally. Say Maaser is really not Hektesh, therefore it's really property, therefore it has become inherited by the family. V'kani Le'bal, the husband inherits it. Hilchach Shlichut Edebal Kav, that she's doing the agency of her own husband, therefore she has to pay the Chomesh. Okay. Now, Tana, we have one other way in which the Eved Kanani goes free, and this is well known. Yotze B'shen V'ayin V'rosh Shevarim Shen and Chozrim. He could leave if his tooth is punched out, if his eye is punched out, those are explicit in the text, and any heads of limbs, we'll see what those mean, that are maimed in such a way that they don't return. Now, Bishlama Shein Vayin K'tivi, I understand Shein Vayin, Ki Ake Yishat Shein Avdo, Shein Avdo, Shein Avdo, Shechata, those are written explicitly. El Rosh Shevar Minal, and how do I know that the tips of limbs also cause him to go free? The answer is, do me to Shein Vayin. Shein v'ayin become a model. Ma shein v'ayin lumen shebegalu. Just like they are exposed disfigurements, v'ayin an chozrin, and they're irrevocable, they're not going to come back. Afko lumen shebegalu an chozrin. So thing for anything that fits that. Ay, v'ayin mani avu shein v'ayin shneksub ma'im ke'achat. Shneksub ma'im ke'achat in melamdin. Why don't we say that shein and ayin are two of the same law, and our general approach is that whenever the Torah gives the two examples of the same law, it's to make them the exhaustive list and an exclusive list. The only way we can get around that is if we could prove that shein could not have been inferred from ayin and vice versa, therefore they're both necessary. Tzricha, and there we are necessary. The ikat rachman shein, if the Torah only said that you go free with shein, havamina filo shein lechalav, I would even think a baby tooth, meaning something that will come back later. Rachman ayin, therefore the Torah says ayin. Ikat rachman ayin, if the Torah wrote ayin, and I'm ayin shein ivraimo, and this is just a flip of it, I would think just like the eye is born, he's born with the eye, meaning it's something that you come into the world with. Av kol shein ivraimo, aval shein lo, and therefore if he knocks out his tooth, he wouldn't go free. So I could not have learned, if I'd only said tooth, I would have thought even a baby tooth, and if I'd only said eye, I would not know tooth. Therefore, tzricha. Okay, ve'ema, why don't I read the pasuk like this? Ki akeh is a klal, if he hits, meaning he hits anything. Shein v'ayin, which we've now justified, so we're seeing them as one prat. And klal prat, what's the rule of klal prat? And makal, masha prat, the prat now limits the klal to only those things. Shein v'ayin, in, midi achri lo, only the eye and the tooth. The answer is, Lachovshi Shachenu Chazar V'Chalal. After Shein V'ayin, it says, Lachovshi Shachenu, he shall send him free, which is a general statement. What's the rule of Klal Upadu Klal? Yatadan Elokena Prat. You use the Prat now as a model. Ma'apran Furash, Mumisha Begolian Chosim, just like Shein V'ayin are exposed disfigurements that are not, that don't restore. Avkol Mumisha Begolian Chosim, similarly anything that follows that. If that's the case, I'll add another component to it. Shein v'ayin is something that as a result of it, it ceases to function. You knock out the eye, he can't see. You knock out the tooth, he can't chew. At least he can't chew at that spot. And so therefore it has to be something where it no longer functions. Alamatanya talash bizikno vidildabo etzem. If you pulled on his chin and knocked the mandible out of its place, disjointed it, everybody goes free, even though he could still do it, it's just still hanging there. So the answer is Lachovshi Shachanu Ribuyahu. Lachovshi Shachanu expands it and says you send him free in any case. If so, even if he hit his hand and it withered, but it's going to get better, he should go free. You have a ribui. We say he doesn't go free. Because the answer is, there would be no reason to write Shein V'ayin. Shein V'ayin is there to at least give a sense that it's something that's irrevocable. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon says, and we saw this earlier in Gittin, Rabbi Shimon says that if you knock out any of these limbs, and in the next podcast we'll see what they are, then he goes free, but he needs to get shichur. Rabbi Elazar Omer Tzarich, Rabbi Tafra Omer Eino Tzarich. So we have two and two Tanoim lined up about whether you need to get Shechur. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tzarich, he says you do. So the not exactly the compromise, but the resolution is as follows. Nirin de Rabbi Tarfon, they said Rabbi Tarfon, who said you don't need to get Shechur, seems to be the proper approach. B'shein Va'ayin. Shatorah Zachzichtal, the Torah itself set you free. That's your Shtar Shechur. V'divar Rabbi Kibo says you need a Shtar Shechur B'shar Yivarim, all the rest of them. Hoyol Knas Chachamim Hu. Since it's a fine of the Chachamim. Knasu, what means a fine? Krai Karashin, we're darshaning Psukim, and we just darshan call the Pradu Klal. And so we said the Torah frees you for any of these limbs. You knock somebody's arm off. Al Hoyol Midrash Chachamim Hu. Since it's not explicit in the text, you need to get Shechur. Now, my time at Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon say that you need to get Shechur? Yalef Shiduach Shiluach Mi'isha Yishachenu and V'shulcham Beito. Ma'isha B'shtar, Afi Yavanam Mi'shtar, you need a star. Rabbi Meir, what's the opposite position? Ikatav Chofshi L'vasof, if it said at the end, Yishachenu Chofshi, then Kedekamart, that would say you have to send him away an act of a star plus Chofshi. But now that it says chofshi, you send him away. He's already chofshi, and then you send him away, meaning that he doesn't need a shtar. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, he called if he hit him in the eye and blinded him, I punched him in the ear and made him deaf. The Eved goes free. Negede no, but if he hit him near the eye, Veino roa, and as a result of that, he can't see. Can negados no? He punched him near the ear. Veino shomea. He doesn't go free. Now, Amar Shaman the Rav Ashi, let's see, the Maimer, they call a loud klumah, you're going to tell me that a loud voice is nothing? In other words, if you scare him in such a way he loses his hearing, that's nothing? If a chicken stuck his head into a glass and crowed, and as a result of that it broke, Shalom Nezek Shalom, the owner has to pay. So you see that damage via voice is damage. If a horse neighed, v'chamor shenaar, or donkey brayed, shibru kelim b'toch habayit, and the result of that is kelim broke, b'shalom nechatzin ezek, they have to pay chatzin ezek. It's time, it's like tzrorot. Yes, but they have to pay. So I'm relayed, shani adam, nekev in the barda, tu iu mivit nafshei. Kelim are different. Kelim break because of the sound. If a person, on the other hand, this is a very forward-thinking approach, if a person is hurt as a result of sound, invariably he is contributed because of his own fear and anxiety as a result. Ketanya, as we see, if you scare somebody, then you can't, it's not actionable in court. You're chai between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to make it up. Ketzad, what's an example? Takaba osno v'chersho, if he screams into his ear and deafens him, patur. Now, we'd have to assume that this is not a multi-mega decibel kind of sound, but the idea is he scares him in such a way that he has an internal reaction. Achazto v'taka ba'ozno v'chersho, if on the other hand he grabbed him and yelled him into his ear, then chayab, because now there's already battery. Now, Tana Rabbanan, hikau alino v'chiyata. So we see from that piece that a human is considered to be responsible for his own damages if he wasn't touched, because he's generated it psychologically. Let's say he punched him in the eye and his eye got weaker. He hit him in his tooth and his tooth got loose. If he can still use them, and if it's David doesn't go free. But if he can't use them anymore, he goes free. We have another bright that says, let's say his eye was already dark, and then he blinded him. His tooth was loose, and then the master knocked it out. If he was originally able to use them when they were just dark or loose, and now they're out, then he goes free. If not, then he doesn't go free. Meaning the principle is that as long as it was, when before you hit him, it was functional, and now it's not, he goes free. But if beforehand it wasn't functional, or after the act it's still functional, it doesn't go free. And we need both of these statements. The Yeshbin and Hachkamaita, if we only have the first one, when you took him from perfectly healthy to weak, I would think, sure, originally he had good light, now he has bad light. But in a guy who had started out with bad light, meaning he was had weak eyes, maybe you don't go set him free if you blind him. And if I said in the second statement, because you totally blinded him, that's why he goes free. But in the first case where you just made him unable to see, but he had some vision, let's say his master was a doctor. He said, please take care of my eye, put some treatment on my eye, and then, and he blinded him unintentionally. To clean out my tooth, to put a filling in. He knocked it out. He laughs at the master, goes free. The pasuk says he has to hurt it. Has to be intentional hurting, not where he's trying to help the guy and makes a mistake. Rabbanan, so what do the Rabbanan do with that? Let's say he's an OBGYN, the master, and he stuck his hand inside to help deliver a baby. And he blinded the embryo. Patur, there he's patur. He has to intend to hurt her, as opposed to the embryo. So what's Rav Shimon Gamliel going to do with that? He agrees with that halacha. He gets it from the hay at the end. That is what tells him about the embryo. And the fact that the words v'shichet means it has to have intent. V'idach, what do Rabbanan do with that? Shichet shichatah lo darish. They don't think that there's a big difference between the two, and therefore they only leave it to the more obvious drasha. Now, Amar Sheshet, Areshaita inos muyav uchtata. Let's say he was totally blind, and you knocked his eye out. Because now he's missing a limb. Even though he couldn't see before, now you've made him mechusar ever. And we have a parallel to that in the halacha of psulim of Isur Mizbeach. Tanatuna, tamud v'zachrut b'behema. The Torah requires that a korban that's a behema be tam, meaning without blemish, and zachar, generally male. V'ein tamud v'zachrut b'ofot. When it comes to birds, there is no requirement of tam. I mean, they can have a mum. Yachol yavsha gapa nikta aragla nikta ta'ina. I might think it's even true. If the wing totally withered, or the leg got cut off, or its eye was punched out. Talmud lomar min ha'of. Therefore, the Torah says, in the beginning of Vayikra, min ha'of. If you want to bring a korban of the birds. V'lo kol ha'of. Not all birds. Now, that is a parallel, of course, to this halacha, which says that an Eved who was blind, but then you punched out his eye, that difference between having the eye and not having the eye is a significant difference that even in the area of Of, a Korban Ha'of, where we don't care about Tamim, we do care about Mechusar Ever. Alright, Yeterah V'chatcha. Let's say he had an extra digit and the master cut it off. Eved Yotzeh L'Chayrut, the Eved goes free. He says, yeah, but that's only if it's counted along with the other fingers. In other words, it's in a row with the other fingers. If it's some weird thing sticking out of somewhere, that's not Rosh Eivarim. That's just some sort of disfigurement, and the master sort of helped him out by getting rid of it. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and we'll pick it up in the next podcast at the story of the Sabe de Nezunya, a relatively short podcast, taking us to the end of the Sugya of Eved Kanani, and specifically of Rosh Eivarim. Everybody should have a wonderful day.